does anybody remember, I don't know how many of you were here last time I taught, does anybody remember what I really stressed over and over? I kind of said it several times over and over. Grant. The Bible is a treasure. I'm going to go with that theme today. The Bible is a treasure. The Bible is a treasure. And the Bible is a treasure. Okay, so this is what I want you to think about, though, today. The Bible is a treasure. The Bible is also called what? It is the gospel. It's throughout the Bible, right? God's Word. So the Word of God is a treasure. The Word of God is a treasure. But what does John 1:1 tell us? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So who is our treasure? God, right? So as we read God's Word today, what I want you guys to be thinking about is when we think about how God's Word is a treasure, it's really God who is our treasure, right? And Jesus, in John 1, is where we see that Jesus is God. Okay? So keep that in mind as we go through Jeremiah 42. All right. Context for Jeremiah 42. It starts in Jeremiah 39. Now, as you guys are thinking about how to make good decisions, I want you to hear this story and tell me what decision you would make. So you have to really pay attention because I'm going to ask for a show of hands. All right? So I'll give some little comments. I'm going to read some verses and give a little commentary. This starts in Jeremiah 39. Before I get to Jeremiah 39, what is, you guys all know Israel. What Israelites were God's chosen people, right? And they were to go into the promised land, which is what God said way back in Genesis, that he would give them land and bless, all the nations would be blessed through them, right? So then they went into the wilderness, and what happened in the wilderness? They died. The first generation died. Why did they die? They weren't faithful. They weren't obedient to God. They didn't follow the Ten Commandments. would any of us made it out of the wilderness, by the way? We all are sinners, right? So we would have struggled there too to make it out of the wilderness. So don't ever think that, man, those Israelites, I can't believe that they didn't listen to God, because we at times don't listen to God. Thank the Lord for Jesus, right? So that we know that because of him, we can still have life, eternal life. We don't go to the promised land, but we have life in him. Okay, so they went into the land of promise, and then once they got into the land of promise, what happened? Did they obey God? They disobeyed God. So they disobeyed God, and then what happened? Well, the judges came, yep, but fast-forwarding a little further than that, what happened to them because of their disobedience eventually? They got kicked out into exile, right? Who kicked them out? Or who sent them into exile? Babylon. So what do you guys know about Babylon? They're very bad. Like, when you think of the worst kind of people, worst nation that you could ever think of, that's Babylon, okay? So that's a little backdrop here to where we're going to go now in Jeremiah 39. Remember, you're going to have to tell me what your decision is at the end of this. So you have to really listen. Okay. Plus, the Bible is a treasure, so I know you want to listen anyway. Okay. The king of Babylon slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah. The king of Babylon slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah. Zedekiah was the Israelite king at Riblah before his eyes. And the king of Babylon slaughtered all the nobles of Judah. Those were the Israelites. He put out the eyes of Zedekiah. I'm assuming, I should have read the NIV of the NLT. I'm assuming that means he plucked out his eyes. That's not much fun. And the house of the people, and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried into exile to Babylon the rest of the people who were left in the city, those who had deserted to him and the people who remained. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left in the land of Judah some of the poor people who owed nothing, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. So most of the people were exiled to Babylon. They were no longer in the land of promise. The poor people, the poor Israelites, were left behind. Everybody with me so far? And Babylon, they were bad people, right? Babylon, Babylonians were bad people. Okay, now we're fast forwarding to Jeremiah 40, starting at verse 5. If you remain, so he was talking to Jeremiah here, Jeremiah the prophet, if you remain in Jerusalem, then return to Gedaliah, the son of, these are big names for me. I don't know how to pronounce them. I'm just going to skip over. Hudin, the king of Babylon, appointed governor of the cities of Judah and dwell with him among the peoples. So Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he appointed this guy, Gedaliah, to watch over the Israelites that were still in Judah. You all with me? Because we're going to answer my question here in a little bit. So the poor Israelites were still in Judah, or in Jerusalem. They were still there. They had this governor that oversaw them, really, in a lot of ways, to protect them so they wouldn't die. Okay? So then what happened to this governor, though, was he was killed. He was murdered by this guy named Ishmael in chapter 41. So he was murdered, this guy that was overseeing the Israelites that remained in Jerusalem. You guys are still tracking with me? Okay. So if that were to happen, so the guy that was governing the poor Israelites that were still there, do you think they would be scared that something may happen to them? The guy that was overseeing them was just murdered. They were probably scared, right? I would be scared. Especially because I knew most of my friends and family had already been sent in exile to Babylon. And I was just with all the poor people. If I was Jeremiah, I was with all the poor people. I was still there. And the guy that was overseeing them was just murdered. So anyway, he was murdered. And then then there was a coup of people that came and actually saved the Israelites that were still there so that they weren't going to be murdered themselves or killed themselves. So then what happened, though, was this group of people, a remnant is what you'll often see in Scripture, they were still there, but they wanted to go to Egypt because it was much safer. It was a safer place to be than to stay in Jerusalem. So if you guys, all of you are Israelites, so here you are in Jerusalem, or Judah, you're in Judah, and the guy that was overseeing you was killed. Then you had this group of people that saved you, so you weren't killed. And this group of people that saved you wanted to go to Egypt because there was more food there and it was a much safer place. So my question to you is, would you go to Egypt or would you stay? So who would stay? Who would go to Egypt? I would go to Egypt. Would you want to be saved? Who wants to die? Is that at the top of everybody's list? Yeah, it's the top of your list. But most of the time, right, if you know there's danger in the place where you live, you would want to flee that place, right? None of us want to die in that way. And so the Israelites had a choice. Either they would go to Egypt or they would stay. All right? So now this is a really interesting thing. And this is where the story picks up in Jeremiah 42, which is where we are today. All right? So I'm going to read Jeremiah 42, verse 10 here in a second after I tell you a little bit of background of 1 through 6. 1 through 6 is they decided, this group of Israelites decided to ask Jeremiah, what should we do? Should we go to Egypt where it's safe? Or should we stay where there's a good chance that maybe we might get killed? So I've kind of already given it away. Probably most of them would say, well, we would really, when it comes down to it, we'd rather go because we don't want to die, right? But they still asked Jeremiah what he thought. Well, this is what Jeremiah said in verse 10. He says, if you will remain in this land, then, actually this is the Lord speaking through Jeremiah, if you will remain in this land, that means not go to Egypt, then I will build you up and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I relent of the disaster that I did to you. Do not fear the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. So he tells them to stay. Jeremiah tells them to stay in the land. So here's my question for you, and this is on your note sheet. Why do you think God would want his people to stay where they were, even though it seemed dangerous to them? Why would Jeremiah tell his people to stay in a land that was dangerous? Yeah, so it was in the promised land. So if Jeremiah, they knew he was a prophet of God, right? And Jeremiah said, you should stay. That's what the Lord is telling me to tell you is to stay.
Maybe the promised land, perhaps permanently in their eyes, or intermixing with the Egyptians.
Yeah, so intermixing with the Egyptians. Egyptians at that time wasn't good because he didn't want them to intermarry with another culture when really he said you need to stay with your people. Yeah. So the bottom line is a lot of times, you guys, you probably noticed this in your own life. If you have asked God or asked somebody else for counsel that's a godly person, a lot of times they may say for you, they may give you advice to do something that maybe seems hard, right? And it's kind of against what somebody that maybe would not be a believer would tell you to do. And it may not seem like the safest thing to do. All right, so I want you to think about that just for a second as you think about who God is in these couple of verses. He says in verse 12, I will grant you mercy that he may have mercy on you. God may have mercy on you and let you remain in your own land. What does mercy mean? What does mercy mean? Not getting what you deserve, which all of us deserve death, right? Why do we deserve death? Because we're sinners. The wages of sin is death, good Dan. Yeah, the wages of sin is death. So every single one of us deserves death. The Israelites during this time, why did they deserve to die? Because they've been sinful, just like you and me, right? So they have been disobeying God as well. So again, remember, the Bible is a treasure. God, in his word, we see God in his word over and over. God is a merciful God. And Pastor Jim talked about this a little bit today. God is a merciful God. He wants to show us his mercy. He wants to give us, he wants to show us his grace, which is actually getting something that we don't deserve, right? In this case, they were getting what he said in verse 10, is he said, I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I will relent of the disaster that I did to you. So in other words, God wanted to show his mercy to them. But the hard part was they had to obey, right? They had to obey and choose to stay. So as you think about your own lives, and you think about, we're disobedient a lot of times, right? We're still disobedient. Even for those of you that know Christ, we're still disobedient at different times. Yet God will still show us his mercy, as even when we're disobedient and we confess our sin to him, he'll show us his mercy over and over and over again. So don't ever forget that about God. You know, one of the great things about this chapter that as I was studying it the last couple of days, it was just such a great reminder of me that God is merciful. I keep thinking the microphone's going out and then I gotta start shouting. That God is a merciful God, and that he wants to give us the blessings of promise. Here for the Israelites, it was to stay in the land, even though it was difficult, right? Even though it was difficult. All right, Jeremiah 42, 13 through 18. read verse 15 and 16. And so what I want you to think about here when I'm reading verse 15 and 16, we just saw how God is going to be merciful to the Israelites, right? And he's merciful to us. And that's something that we should never take for granted, that he's merciful to us. So here I want you to think about, when I read verse 15 and 16, what does it show us about who God is? It says in 15, "Then hear the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. If you set your faces to enter Egypt and go to live there, then the sword that you fear shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine of which you are afraid shall follow close after you in Egypt, and there you shall die." What does this show us about God? This is one of those teachings that's a little bit harder, especially today, this day and age, to think about God in this way. So if they chose to disobey and go back to Egypt, what was going to happen to them? So they would experience God's wrath. What does wrath mean? Well, destruction, it's the anger of God.
Anger and action.
Anger and action, yeah. So God would show his wrath. Often, whenever you see God's character in the scriptures, so you'll see God's character, and then you'll see the result of that character, right? But what happens since God is a God of wrath and anger and hates sin, what has to happen because of that? What would have happened to the Israelites here? Death, right? So think about us. We're just like the Israelites. God is still the same today as he was in the Old Testament. So the wrath of God is still just as active today as it was then. What happens because of our sin? Do we all die? We're separated from God. For us as believers, though, what do we know is true? We have redemption in Christ. This is a big word, propitiation. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that word. But in Romans 3, it talks about how when we receive Christ, we receive his propitiation, is that we do not have to experience the wrath of God and the anger of God because of our sin. That's great news, right? So the Israelites here, during this time, if they chose to stay in the land, the result for them was life. The result for us is the same. When we look to Jesus and what he's done for us, he paid the penalty for us so that we can have life. But it doesn't take away that God is a God of wrath. And it's important to know that, because sin is still sin, right? Sin still separates us from God. It's only because of what Christ has done that our sin, our disobedience, shows us that Christ loved us enough to send his son so that we can have life, okay? So mercy, we saw that God is a merciful God. What does that bring the Israelites when they see God's mercy? If they really saw his mercy and they decided to stay, what is it that they would see? That's kind of maybe a harder question. That God is good, right? That he would provide for them. I think a lot of times mercy and then the word grace go together, right? So when God, mercy, like Carter said, is not getting what we deserve, but grace is getting what we don't deserve. So when we experience God's mercy, then we also experience his grace too because of that. So we have the gift of eternal life because of what Christ did for us. So we see God's mercy and we see God's wrath in both of this chapter. Okay, so here's a question for you. This is on your note sheet. What kinds of things happen when we obey God's counsel? good thing. Right? So define good things. What are the good things that happen when we obey God's counsel? Peace. Very good. Yeah, peace is a big one. Good job, Elizabeth. What else? We grow in our faith, absolutely. Yeah. We grow to know Christ more for who he is. And what do we know about Christ? He is our treasure. Okay, good. There's another really big one. It's what we can experience. How many of you guys like being grumpy? How many, or here's a better way to say it. How many of you like is the wrong word? It's real easy to get down, right? There's all kinds of things that can get you down in life. How would you like it if wouldn't you like it if somebody told you, man, if you could, every day you wake up, you would be just the happiest person every day. Wouldn't all of you want to take this happy pill? Now, happiness and joy are a little bit different because life is tough, right? So, but all of us at a deep level want to experience joy, right? Where we know the difference between joy and happiness. Joy is like this feeling inside of you that you have that there is hope. There's always hope. There's nothing ever that long term that you have to worry about. If I were to be diagnosed with cancer today, I could still have joy. It wouldn't make me very happy, but I could have a joy because I'm looking towards my life with Christ. Okay? So, joy is something that you definitely experience when you are looking more to what Christ is in. Peace is another one as well, for sure. And then faith in God. Okay, what about when we disobey? When we disobey God, what happens? Usually.
He corrects us.
What's that mean?
He corrects us.
Yeah, there's consequences. So turn to Hebrews 12 for me. So, starting in verse 5, and it says, "Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons?" This is 12, verse 5. "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord." So Dan just said this. "Nor be weary when reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." Okay? So when we disobey the Lord, the consequences sometimes are actually quite painful, right? It may not seem like it at the time, but generally any time that you disobey the Lord, if it doesn't hurt at that time, eventually it'll probably come back and you'll realize that the choice that you made wasn't honoring to the Lord. I'm sure that's never happened to you, right? I mean, I think we all see that when we disobey the Lord, the consequences of that. But there can be great joy in that as well, knowing that God cares for us enough that he, it says here, chastises us to help us grow in our relationship with him. Okay, so here's another question. Why does God promise to protect and prosper us in difficulties instead of just taking those difficulties away? Why does God promise to protect and prosper us in difficulties? Yeah, to grow more like him, good Luke. So helps us to grow more like him, right? So the hard thing is that each one of us is going to go through difficulties in life. But one thing I think you'll notice as you follow Christ, those difficulties, sometimes nobody really likes having difficult times in their life. Clearly, right? Actually, I think a lot of times we try to avoid difficulties because they're not very pleasant to go through. But the times when you have the most difficulties in life are probably the times when you grow the most in your relationship with the Lord. Does anybody know why? You realize you need help, absolutely. So it's kind of humbling, right? If you don't know what to do, but really in the last few years, I've had some really difficult things in my life. that have happened, and I've been, I've probably felt closer to the Lord than I've ever felt. Because I've, the only place I've had to turn, the only place that I can turn during those difficulties is to the Lord. And He wants us to cry out to Him, right? And so just remember that too. If you're going through a difficult time, you may think, oh Lord, why do you have me in this difficult time of life right now? It may be to grow you in your understanding of Him and realizing that really He is what you need to rely on during those difficult times. Okay? All right, Jeremiah 42, 19 through 22. This is the last section. I'm going to read verses 21 to 23. Go back to Jeremiah right here. All right, verses 21 to 22. Say, and I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God on anything that He sent me to tell you. Now therefore know for certainty that you shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence in the place where you desire to go to live. So again, this just is evidence of the wrath of God, right? That they're going to die if they decide to go to Egypt. And so, again, you see the consequences of their disobedience. And so, I just want to make it clear to you, though, as believers in Christ, when we disobey, we don't just die. You guys all know that. I don't just want to be sure that's clear. But that disobedience now as a believer in Christ brings great pain when we know that we've disobeyed the Lord. Right? And so, even though we don't experience the wrath of God as believers anymore because of what Christ did for us, we still have pain when we don't do what God asks us to do. Now, as for those of you that don't know Christ, the consequences of our sin is still death. And that's not just death, physical death, but that would be eternal death too. So, really important clarification to make there between a believer and an unbeliever. All right, so AJ had a question on here. How can we be sure we can trust that God's plans for us will lead to our good? How can we be sure we can trust that God's plans for us will lead to our good?
He's promised us.
Great. Absolutely. And so that's another really great thing to do when you guys are reading God's Word. What I do before I go to God's Word every day is I say, Lord, open my eyes so I can see the goodness of what you have for me, the promises that you have for me, and who you are. And so the promises of God, that's a great thing to do when you guys are reading God's Word, is just to look for all the promises that He has for us as believers in Christ. So, absolutely. It's really hard, right, to follow the Lord if you feel like, well, I can't even really trust Him. And so, as you read God's Word and you realize how He's been faithful over and over and over to those that He's called His own, it gives you not just hope, but it gives you confidence that you can choose to do what He's asking you to do. All right, so when you're trying to make a decision on the right thing to do, I guess this is my big million-dollar question. Actually, it's AJ's million-dollar question. Will you take God's advice, and this might be something you can talk about more in small groups, will you take God's advice even if it isn't what you want to do necessarily? Because it may cost you something in this life. So, I was trying to think of a really good example. I think I gave this example a few years ago. This was all probably with you guys either before you were born, and maybe, I don't remember the date of it. But there was a high school student in Colorado. It's a Columbine shooting. What was her name? Rachel Scott, I think was her name. Anyway, she was a high school student, and there was a guy that came into their high school and was killing students and teachers, and she had a point there where I think the shooter said something like, are you a believer in Christ? And she said yes, and he shot her when she said that. So, that's a very extreme example, But this was somebody that was your age that stood up for the name of Christ. And so it oftentimes it won't be as extreme as that, but there are little things, right, where you can choose, make a choice. Am I going to choose what God would want me to do in this circumstance, or am I going to choose what the crowd would want me to do? I mean, I think of my own self. I work from home. I'm on a computer all the time. One of the things that my coworkers like to do is just gossip about other people all the time and say really just not the nicest things about some of my other coworkers. It is really easy for me to just join in and do that. And you guys may have had a circumstance like that before too in your own life, where if you're a part of a bigger crowd, you want to be part of the crowd a lot of times. You don't always want to say, you know, I'm not going to engage in that kind of gossip, or I'm not going to engage in that kind of slanderous talk. I think probably for you guys in high school, that might be more of an example of something that you face on a regular basis. So are you really going to stand for what God wants you to do or not? And here's the thing about it too, and I'll close with this, is why do you stand for the truth of the gospel? Why do you stand for what God would want you to do? Is it because you're supposed to? I mean, sometimes, right? Sometimes you do what's right because you're supposed to. But as you guys are reading God's word, you're realizing God's word is a treasure. You're realizing all the promises of God. You're going to want to obey God. And so I really challenge you guys as you're reading his word, instead of looking at God's word as a list of things that you're supposed to do or not do, which clearly those are all in the scriptures, look at it as a book that tells you about who God is and what he's done for you. Your response is going to be obedience. You know, if the Holy Spirit is coming to your life, you're going to want to obey. And when you disobey, you're actually going to feel like you've sinned against the Lord and you'll repent of that sin. So that's something I really want you guys to stay in the back of your mind is, am I going to choose to obey because I just have to, or because I love God that much that I want to obey? That's really the desire in my heart, is that I desire to obey rather than I'm supposed to obey. All right, well, let me pray, and then you guys can go into small groups. Lord Jesus, thanks so much for this time. You are a great God, you're a merciful God, and you also are a God of wrath. But as we look at those two attributes of you, that you're a God of mercy and a God of wrath, it reminds us of the gospel. Reminds us that you saved us as sinners that don't deserve to be in heaven with you. You still came and died on a cross so that we could have life. And so, Lord, I pray that God will bring us great joy each and every day that we have a breath of life. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.